Yes.
Testing, testing. Pedro. Pedro, the show's about to start.
Oh, God, Pedro.
How much are we paying this kid?
Nothing today.
He should have to pay us for ruining this show week in and week out, Rick. No, week in and week out.
Are we on?
Pedro, hit the button, stupid.
He's just not going to.
He's not
going
to do it. Oh, there you go, Pedro.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Gee, thanks.
Oh, here's our opener. Thanks,
yeah,
Pedro.
I mean, it's already time for a break. Why bother now,
Welcome
jerk?
Welcome to the Asylum. And now, your hosts, Rick Flieger and Rick Briggs.
Well, I think you can tell, obviously, we are live at AsylumFantasySports.com with the worst producer in the business, Rick.
We are Flieger and Briggs. We are superstars. However, Pedro is not.
Yeah, this kid,
and
I'm sorry. He's got. I don't want to see him sent back to Guadalupe or wherever he's from, but this kid's got to go.
Where did I say he was from?
I forget.
No, Ecuador. That's
Ecuador.
What it was.
Yeah,
because we're talking about
the equator
and all that
stuff. An egg or something, or something with an egg.
Yeah, it'll actually balance on a nail.
Yeah.
Because the gravity's like straight up.
So if you're still listening to this, God bless you. Check us out on Twitter at Asylum Football. We are so painfully close, Rick, to 2,000 followers, and we cannot get over the hump. So please help us out there.
We are so close to the 2014 fantasy football season. Our rankings are up. They're changing. And I'll tell you what, Rick, things are going to be changing between now and August, I can guarantee you. They're just so much shaking out right now. And if you're not prepping right now, shame on you.
Yeah. It's time now. We are going through a very big draft right now, Rick, and just seeing many different leagues being drafted at the same time under one umbrella, and just the wild variations in the draft there. The now it's a two-quarterback league. That makes it different.
Yes, it does.
But Rick, it's all over the place, and it is so hard to draft. You try to follow, you know, on my fantasy league, most of you probably drafted on that. But even if you picture your ESPN or your Yahoo or NFL.com interfaces, you know, your players are listed in an ADP order. There's been rounds, Rick, already. We're through 7 rounds, and we'll discuss a little bit here at the top of the show. I'm blanking on it. Scott Fish's
Invitational.
It's the Invitational. I don't think it's the Fantasy Oasis Invitational. That's
not,
is
no,
it the
not
Scott
anymore.
Fish Invitational,
yeah.
I believe. So, Rick, I find myself scrolling 30, 35 players down to make a draft pick below what my fantasy league has, the ADPs. Things are just all over the place this
year. It really is. I agree. I've done the same thing. I don't think, other than my first pick, I don't think, and I was number one in our conference, you know, in our division. So, and I went with LeSean McCoy. Just let you know, and he was their ADP and running back.
Right.
But other than that, I have not gone to what they have as ADP as well. And just to give the listeners a little background on it, it's an invitational. There's 240, I believe, this year of writers, you know, experts, fans as well, site owners, so forth, in this league, giving everybody a shot. Get the title. And he's actually, you know, he's got some people putting up some nice prizes and so forth. And it is difficult. There's two quarterback leagues, just like you said.
That threw me for a loop.
A big difference. Yeah. And last year, actually, we talked about this off air a couple, three days ago. I actually got to the quarterfinals, but both of us at the time really didn't pay much attention to the two quarterback thing until they all started falling off the board.
Yeah, what the heck is going on here? Oh,
nice. Well, then I happened to luckily stumble onto Philip Rivers and, I think Andy Dalton way late. There was hardly anybody left. And at the time last year, they weren't really ranked that high.
Right.
Which actually got me through to the quarterfinals. You, on the other hand, there really wasn't anybody left in your division.
Yeah, didn't I back into the playoffs under 500 and then unceremoniously bow out, as I tend to do in a lot of fantasy leagues? And I got to be honest, Rick, and we're sitting here and we're on the air, we're on these airwaves, and, yeah, I hate to admit something like this, but you know, I'll pull the curtain back. Two quarterback leagues isn't something I've done a lot of. And, you know, I didn't know what to take. You know, I did a little research. Well, of course there's zero in the chat room, Rick. 15 minutes late coming on air. Yeah, I wasn't supposed to say that, was I? That was one of those hand signal things you do. But, you know, in going through, and I read some things, and they're very different. You know, some experts at these two quarterback leagues will tell you to take your two early. I've seen some guy did a great – I wish I had the website in front of me so I could plug him, because it was a great article. I didn't end up going with that theory, but he broke it down similar to what we did on the Fantasy Sports Network show last week, Rick. He actually broke it down mathematically, where if you go running back, QB, QB, if you go QB, QB, running back, broke it all down. You know, and it showed really your best course of action in those leagues is to get your top running back first if you're in the first round, or your top receiver if you're at the end, and then get your quarterbacks in the second and third round before a real run starts. And taking the temperature of this, Rick, it didn't go last year. It seemed to me the quarterbacks went faster in the second and third rounds. Quarterbacks were a little slower to go off the board this year. So I was able to wait. I believe I took them in rounds 4 and 5, if I'm not mistaken. I'm trying to pull up the draft board right now. Took them in 4 and 5 and still walked away with Philip Rivers was my 2. Who the heck was my number 1, Rick? My mind's completely going blank here with all the chaos. Pedro's doing a hat dance behind you there, and he's distracting me. But was able to get them a little later, was able to get AP in the first round, got Julio Jones. What I liked about this team, Rick, is it's got me written all over it, which, back to my point with the ADPs, moving down 30 and 40 spots lower than what apparently the average drafter right now thinks.
Yeah, I don't know who you took first. I don't have my year conference up. I have mine up, and quite frankly, that's all that matters. So, but anyway, we would be remiss if we didn't mention that coming on later in the show, we have Zach Law coming on as our special guest. We're going to be talking a little AFC South and a little of his Tennessee Titans. We have a bit of a bet going on with Zach.
Mango, lime, whatever.
Oh, yes.
Bet.
Yes.
What
indeed.
Week is that game?
You know, I'm not sure. I have to check the schedule here, but that's a good question. I hope it's warm.
Yeah. You hope it's warm?
Huh?
Well, because he's drinking the beer.
Well,
warm,
yeah,
right?
Since he's going to drink it warm with mango, and I hope it's hot.
Well, and if you're drinking mango, it should be a nice warm day. They usually seem to play Tennessee early in the year when they do that. I know they got Cleveland week one. That's about all I know right off the top of my head, and I really wish I could remember that.
I know they got Baltimore early on too.
Yeah, but loaded up with the front end divisional games and on the back end. I think something the NFL's been working towards a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. But anyway, we got him coming on, and that's going to be good. But now, getting back to the Invitational real quick before we move on, I just happened to go, like I said, I mentioned earlier, I went to LeSean McCoy in the first round. And being the first pick, I had a long wait till I got the pick again. So they came back, and I thought, I better get the quarterbacks, you know, because they started to drop off. You saw the Manning, the Rodgers, the Breeze, et cetera, go off. So I went Matt Ryan, you know, banking on Matt.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. I went with Matt Ryan, banking on a nice comeback from Atlanta. And then potential-wise, I went RG3 as my second quarterback in the third round. So I felt pretty good with those two picks there. Then I waited another 24 picks or whatever and come back. I had the one running back. I figured, well, I better get wide receivers. And lo and behold, I took the two best that I thought that was still available, and I got Larry Fitzgerald and Vincent Jackson. And then I rounded back out in a 6 and 7 turn. I got Pierre Thomas and Joyke Bell, which I was excited about in PPR format to get both those guys.
I love Pierre Thomas this year. This is a guy I think you talk about can finish as a high-end number 2 fantasy running back, and you get him that late. I think that's great value if he pans out the way I think he's going to pan out anyhow.
Yeah, you and me both. I'm really high on Pierre Thomas this year. In fact, we're going to get in on him on the Fantasy Sports Network show a little bit
right, when
we get into that show. But, I'm really high on Pierre Thomas, and I think big things for him this year.
Yeah, so in looking at mine, you know, you made the point you had to go in rounds, what was it, Rick, 4 and 5 or 3 and 4? 3 and 4 for your quarterbacks. Yeah, quarterbacks went a little later in mine. Aaron Rodgers did go 3 overall. I found that interesting that he was the first quarterback taken and not Peyton Manning. But hard to argue with. A lot of guys think he's going to finish.
Let's do very quickly the quarterback situation in this two-quarterback league in your conference and mine. Real quick. Let's go. We'll just go right down the line. You tell me which one went first.
All right, it went Rodgers at 3.
I got Rodgers at 7.
All right, it went Drew Brees at 8.
Same here.
Peyton Manning fell all the way to 14.
Manning was 9.
And then nobody else was taken, and this is where I was getting until Matthew Stafford's taken with the 2nd pick in the 3rd round.
Okay. I had Luck go in the 12th of the 1st, and then Stafford in the 2nd of the 2nd.
Okay. And then the next quarterback wasn't until the 9th pick of the 3rd round when Cam Newton was taken.
Okay. And actually, me taking Matt Ryan at 212 and Griffin at 3-1 was the next two.
Okay, and then you wait all the way to the 4th round. The 4th round is when the quarterback run finally started. It went Robert Griffin, it went then Nick Foles, then Matt Ryan, then I took Tom Brady. Or no, you know what, I'm going the wrong direction, Rick. I'm sorry, it went Jay Cutler went right ahead of me. I took Tom Brady, then goes Matt Ryan, Foles, Griffin, Tony Romo. So I sort of started the quarterback run there, but not till the 4th round, which I found interesting.
Yeah, that's very interesting because at 212, like I said, it was Ryan, 3-1 was Griffin, 3-2 was Foles, 3-4 was Newton, 3-6 Russell Wilson, 3-7 Colin Kaepernick. And they were dropping like flies. Phillip Rivers, 3-10. Tom Brady, 4-1. Tony Romo, 4-2. Jay Cutler, 4-4. And there's you get to 4-4. There's not a whole lot left.
Right. You know, so and that's the way it's sort of most of the leagues, at least both of the ones we were in last year, went. So I was able to, and that's what I was happy about, with the quarterback run coming late, and I think that was a takeaway. You just have to take the temperature. If that run happened as early as it happened to you, you did what you had to do. I think, look, everybody agrees in a two-quarterback league, if you can play that quarterback in the flex, that is so valuable over playing any other position in that flex. You want to have that top guy. So fortunately, being that the run was late and I was able to hold off and you know, paid attention to that a little bit, I walked away with – I was 6th overall. I walked away with Peterson, who I had in my top 5, did end up taking him over Eddie Lacy, much to our buddy Scott Fish's chagrin, as I believe he damned me to hell via Twitter. You know, Eddie Lacy, a guy I have ranked ahead of Adrian Peterson right now, just one of those gut calls of, this is a chance in most circumstances I'm going to take Lacy. Here I went Peterson, starting to think quarterback a little bit in the 2nd round, took a chance as there's a bit of a wide receiver run, but a guy, Rick, I have in the top 5, most people don't, but I catch Julio Jones with the 7th pick in the 2nd round. Come back, Reggie Bush in the 3rd, Tom Brady, then I got my QBs, Tom Brady in the 4th, Phillip Rivers in the 5th. Two guys I have in the top 10, not top 10 guys for a lot of people, but two guys I have in the top 10. 6th round, got my boy back, Rick, got my man, my main man, Ryan Matthews. And then, so obviously now I'm really depleted at the wide receiver position. Pretty happy, Rick, with the 6th pick in the 7th round, I was able to catch Eric Decker.
Yeah. I mean, let's face it, 6th pick in the 7th round, I mean, you got a team's number one receiver.
Right.
So
he's not going to do what he did in Denver.
No.
I'm not crazy about
it. But
as my number 2 and in the spot I got him for the value, I chose to get the quarterback and I chose to solidify my running back position with 3 running backs to play in those roles. I think I can, even if Decker plays as, I think he has the most upside of the guys who are left. I keep drafting receivers. I'll hit on another one or two. I can put together a good enough receiver stable in a PPR format that I'm happy with that team. But I like this two-quarterback format. It changes everything. It shuffles everything around.
Yeah, it sure does. And, you know, now that I'm through the 7th round, and we were talking a little bit off air before we came on, you know, I got to start thinking, okay, I got my 3 running backs. I need another receiver. You know what? Need another quarterback.
Right. Yeah.
Somebody's going to be on a bye, and you start 2. So, you know.
You play them in a flex. You don't have to start 2, but you want to.
Exactly. I mean, do you want not one? I mean, unless you have, E.J. Manuel
right
every week against, you know, and maybe you have pick somebody, Alshon Jeffery, for your flex, whatever.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
No,
but I think there's in cases if you're carrying Joe Flacco as your third quarterback in the right circumstance, you're going to play him in that flex over most other position players.
Most any quarterback, really, when it gets right down to it, they just score points.
Right, 100%. So an interesting draft, having a good time with it. This is the first real serious draft, Rick, we've been in. We did some real early bird ones that we'll end up counting when the season comes along. But this was the first one, and, boy, we've talked about it on both shows for about 3 weeks now, just how jumbled up things are, just how hard it is this year, more than any, to predict how things are going to go. And I've stuck to my convictions on this draft, Rick. This team has my stamp on it. Right now, out of 7 rounds, I have 5 guys that I have ranked in the top 10 of their respective positions. Now, most people don't have them ranked that high. So I guess this is where you find out. This is where the rubber meets the road, Rick. I didn't bow to pressure. I didn't bow to ADP. This is my team. I'm going to sink or swim with it, and I'm looking forward to watching this. And I think this year, more than any, not only me, not only us, you need to rank these positions. You need to go to AsylumFantasySports.com. You need to do your homework. Find out where you rank these guys and draft them there. Don't fall for what's going on in these magazines. You buy 4 magazines, there's going to be 10, 15 spot swings on some of these guys. There isn't the general consensus across the board that there has been in the past. So do your homework. Decide, I think, when we had Dennis Farrell on a few weeks ago, decide what you want the identity of your team to be. Stick with it. Go with that. And if you do your homework and you listen to the Asylum, you'll come out just fine.
Exactly. There's no question about that. And just like Rick mentioned, you have to do your homework. Look, any jabroni can go in there and draft your Jamal Charles in the first round and Demaryius Thomas in the second or whatever. You can get 2 or 3 studs right off the bat, but you have to build depth. And the way you build depth is knowing who are valuable players. And it's not just name recognition, your Fitzgeralds and Calvin and so forth. It's your Joique Bells. It's your Pierre Thomases.
Right.
It's your Brian Hartlines that can come in as a wide receiver 3 or a flex. And all of a sudden, you get 25 points on them, and that puts you over the top, and there's a win.
Right.
And that's what it takes. And if somebody goes down, you got the guy to plug into your lineup.
Right.
And you don't miss a beat.
And every year there's those 3 or 4 guys who come out of nowhere, be it off the waiver wire, be it drafted late, who emerge as top 10 talents. And the teams that have those guys are the teams that generally win your championship.
Case in point, I'll toot my own horn from last year. Who was I touting going into the beginning of the year? Took a lot of heat for it. Phil Rivers.
Right, right.
And I'm tying him again this year, but it's not a big shock now.
Yeah, it's not as big as a surprise, but he ran you to the top of a lot of leagues.
Yes,
for me,
did.
It was Eddie Lacy. You know,
right?
People had him. He was a top 5-round pick as it was. I don't want to pretend like, you know, this is a guy I got in the 12th or 13th round, but this was a guy I was targeting. There was a lot of people high on Jonathan Franklin. I was drafting him. I was drafting him in the 4th round, and this guy won me 2 titles. I drafted him earlier than most, way earlier than most, in 2 leagues, and he took me to a title. He became a top 10 running back that I got basically in my 3rd running back spot.
Just an unfortunate story for Franklin, the Packers, and so forth. I mean, I tell you what, going into this year, I was really thinking the Packers, I mean, no worries at running back, period.
Right.
Until all of a sudden, John Franklin, he can't play anymore.
Yeah, and that, yeah, I hate to see that a career over so
yeah.
fast. And a lot of promise. Look, Eddie Lacy beat him out. Eddie Lacy took the share of the work, and Franklin got hurt, obviously. I think this guy had a future in this league, and hate to see that happen. So we'll keep you updated as the Scott Fish Invitational goes on. Rick, let's talk a little headlines. We're 19 minutes into the show, and we haven't mentioned the name Josh Gordon yet.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
Wow. Wow.
I put out a tweet earlier this week, you know, did you hear that crash? Because that's about all that's left of his fantasy value.
Right.
And I don't –
Perhaps
his
career.
Say. And there's a lot of sniping going on around him. You know, Chris Carter, I don't know if you saw his interview.
Advocating him being cut.
Yeah, it's being cut. I mean, that's what happened to him. Now, you know, Chris Carter, from his perspective, I'm not going to fault him. He got cut, Buddy Ryan.
Worked
you know,
for him.
And he got his head out of his butt, got everything straight, and went on to be a Hall of Famer. Now, Mike Irvin's cutting on Chris Carter. Oh, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. Well, why?
A man can't have an opinion?
Yeah, he can't have an opinion because it actually worked for him. So I don't know. I mean, nobody knows what's going to work for Josh Gordon. And
I'm wondering if anything, Rick.
It may not, and you just never know. I mean, he could turn into another Ryan Leaf for all we know, which is a shame if it does. But, you know, like tune into the Fantasy Sports Network, and we just had a little segment with Relio Mastrantonio from an agent's perspective, and there's some good insight from his side of the story,
right,
on that kind of situation as well.
Yeah, on the role an agent plays when things like this are going on. Yeah, you look at Josh Gordon, Rick, you wonder, you know, like you said, Chris Carter advocating him being cut, it worked for him, and for a lot of guys it might. Josh Gordon, there was some doubts. At first it was reported with the failed drug test it was going to be a year. And then the push sort of became, the talk sort of became for a good while, that they were going to cut him a little slack and you were looking at maybe 8 or 9 games. That became what everyone was talking about. Then this happens. So now it's a guarantee it's this full season. What you wonder is it going to be any more than that? Does it expand beyond that? And what I wonder, Rick, you talk about when's he going to get it together? What's it going to take him to get together? Look, there's a reason this kid came in the supplemental draft. He had issues before he got to the NFL. And he just continues to suspended 2 games last year. Now the drug issues, now the DUI. Rick, it happens sometimes. It's a shame. He's probably the most talented kid in the league at his position. I mean, from a fantasy football perspective, he beat out Calvin Johnson last year.
He beat out everybody in the league as far as a leading receiver.
Playing 2 less games than everybody else did. He hasn't shown me anything yet that shows he's ever going to get out of this. I think this is going to be a wasted talent. You know what this feels like to me, Ray? It feels like Maurice Claret a little bit is sort of what I'm feeling. Or who was the kid that came from Nebraska, went to the Rams? Lawrence Phillips, you know, just never did get it together and found himself in prison instead of the NFL.
The Rams or 49ers?
I thought he went to the Rams.
I can't remember.
I'm pretty confident.
I know who you're talking about. That was just a shame.
And
too.
Every once in a while, it just happens. And sadly, this kid's got all the makings of it. And he's got all the physical tools. But I'm not sure that, you know, I'm not going to depend on him. Let's, you know, look at, he's not going to play this year. Let's go into 2015.
Mm-hmm.
We're sitting here in August. I mean, even if he's reinstated, I think you can't draft him just based on the fact you know he's going to do something stupid at some point. For you Dynasty League guys, is this a guy you're cutting? Yeah, you're probably not cutting. Are you moving him? What are you doing with Josh Gordon?
Reminds you of Kenny Britt, doesn't it?
Right, yeah, very similar. Kenny Britt loves to go to prison. It's his favorite thing to do, and it seems like, you know, Josh Gordon similarly enjoys prison life. So
yeah, you know, just talking here in the chat room, you know, question come up, you know, is there any idea how much pressure the Browns can actually put on him, you know, to a mandatory rehab? You know, really until the suspension comes down.
It is all just alleged, everything.
Well, it's alleged. I mean, something's going to happen, obviously. But, you know, once the suspension comes down, I think they do have more leverage. But then again, like mentioned in the chat room, you know, it still puts them in the hot seat. They can't really cut him.
No.
Just for fear, okay, we cut him, he does go to rehab, and now you got a Hall of Famer on some other team,
right,
you know, that's killing you.
And the thing is, why cut him?
Well, yeah.
You don't
got to
pay him now. You just
True.
You own his rights.
True.
He's a piece of property at this point. You don't have to pay him.
Right.
So, but it takes away some of the leverage. I get what Chris Carter's saying. Cut, it's a mercy cut. You know what I mean?
But
they're cutting off their nose to spite their face.
Every time you see the Browns think there's something going right, it's just, you know, the picture, Johnny Manziel rolling up dollar bills in a Vegas bathroom. Obviously, everything's just appearance, but still.
Right.
It's just
doesn't look good.
There's just a lot of junk going on in Cleveland. You mentioned 2 or 3 weeks ago, the OTAs, whatever. Some guy just walks on the field. You know, he's looking for a tryout innocently enough, but he just walks on.
Nobody
stops
knows.
Him.
It's just a very Cleveland thing to happen, and it just keeps happening. I don't like it because it makes me start to feel bad for that for those fans, and as a Steeler fan, that really isn't right, and I wish it would stop. Rick, a couple other headlines before we get Zach on here. Here's my boy, Rick, the Chargers offense coordinator, says my boy Ryan Matthews will be the Chargers' primary workhorse, even with Donald Brown being in town. So good news for me coming off.
Does that really surprise you? I mean, is that just not an earth-shattering statement?
No, but it makes me feel better.
I mean,
boy's a workhorse. That's a good thing.
He's a workhorse. Danny Woodhead's the pass catcher,
right,
and Donald Brown is the fill-in.
Right.
Obviously, I think everybody knew that.
I was a little worried about Donald Brown.
Oh, come on.
A little bit.
Not a lot. He couldn't beat out Joseph Addai.
Right. Even 5 or 6 carries
a game.
He
lay there and looked dead half
every
the time.
The man took a hit, it looked like he'd been shot. So, good news there for all Ryan Matthews fans like myself.
Yeah, exactly. And just one more story. You know, there's a headline here. Just encourage you, go to AsylumFantasySports.com and go to the blog page and look at Briggs' blog, because I'm telling you what, it is not going to stop. Amanda Blackhorse, you know, the lead Native American activist against this Redskin name change. Well, all of a sudden now,
how come she can be named Black Horse, but the football team can't be called the Redskins?
Well, because
that might be equally racist.
Because she's an Indian, apparently.
Oh, okay.
They're Native
American. Native
American. Excuse me.
You can't call her an Indian.
So anyway, and I don't mean that in any disparaging way. Obviously.
I kind of do, but go ahead.
Anyway, it's not enough to change a Redskin name now.
Oh, okay.
Okay? Now, fans should not be allowed to wear headdresses and war paints, and not just a Redskin fans, Chief fans too.
Oh,
I told you,
it just
starts now, and it's a snowball. It's more, and if they give into this stuff, it is not going to end. It's almost like the concussion thing.
Yes,
this thing is not going to end, and there's another whole separate story.
Yeah,
Frank Wycheck, we were talking about.
We'll get into that
at
some point. All right, and here's where it's gone too far, Rick. Reasonable people, I believe, can disagree. While I agree 100% with your story on the show last week, I sort of just took the devil's advocate side of it, you know. And I think you could agree, and I could see everything you were saying, and even that I was saying things I didn't necessarily agree with. You could see both sides of this from the Redskins' perspective, from an organization's perspective. All right, don't start telling me as an individual fan now who lives in the United States with all these constitutional rights that everybody likes to tap dance all over, but don't you dare step on theirs. You can't tell me as an individual what to wear, what to paint on my face, what to say, what to do within the bounds of the law and good taste. That's where it's going too far. This is where, to your point, it starts snowballing. You can put pressure on the team as an organization, as a business entity. You have the right, whether I agree or not, you have the right to put pressure on them to change the way they're operating and some of the things they do or say. To me as an individual, you don't have the right to tell me what to do. You don't. Now, can this entity say, I can't come into their space doing these things? Certainly they can. But where does that end? Now you can't heckle the other fans. Now you can't do this. Now you can't do that. It's a slippery slope if the league and these teams then start mandating behavior outside of the stuff they already mandate within the bounds of the law.
Telling you right now, it does not stop here. Okay, Redskins and Chief fans, you're not allowed to wear headdresses. You're not allowed to do that. Okay, now the Raider fans, you're not allowed to dress up as pirates because piracy, they killed people over in Somalia and so forth just in the last year or so.
Sounds crazy, but it could happen.
The dog pound, you know, you're making fun of animals, getting all drunk and stupid. And I'm sorry. I know it sounds absurd, and it's maybe some of these examples get to be a little trivial and tongue-in-cheek, but I'm telling you, it does not stop, and it's not going to if they keep just bending to everybody that yells about something.
Right, and the bottom line is, as other groups, you hate to even use the word groups, I feel like that's a bad word now, but as other groups see the pop that these activist groups are getting, the amount of headlines they're getting, the amount of, probably, I assume, financial gain they're getting, they're going to see, all right, it's time to take up my cause and go up against the NFL. And I think that's where you get to the ridiculous point, because there's fame and there's money to be gained, Rick. But that's another fight for another time. It appears, Rick, our guest is on the line enjoying that mango, lime, Bud Light, or whatever it was you two are betting.
Oh, no, you're involved in this too, pal.
I got to drink it too.
No, because Pittsburgh's going to win.
Well, that's true.
But we have Zach Law on, and I hope we have the connection. Zach.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
We are just wonderful. Welcome into the asylum. Known you for a long time. The first time that you've graced us with your presence.
Oh, you know I'm available for you guys anytime.
So let's get right down to it. I just happened to see on, and I'm sure their rankings are erroneous, but Pro Football Talk, I believe, has Tennessee at, what, 30 right now?
Yeah, you'd think beating the Steelers 2 years in a row would give us a little cachet, but that's not the case.
Yeah, isn't it sad that them and
the Raiders, three, I forget.
The Raiders and Tennessee are down in the 30s, and they've beaten Steelers 2 years in a row.
Well, I don't blame him. I mean, as someone who has witnessed the team the past 5 years, I wouldn't give them any credit until they've earned it. Even, you know, Wisenhunt gets a little bit of, you know, credit. But, I mean, come on. He almost beat the Steelers in the Super Bowl at the Cardinals. I don't know if that, you know, helps him or hurts him in the long run. So let's see what, you know, what he can do with this roster that, I don't know, if it seems to be down there in terms of talent. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, especially at the skill position, and you wonder, I think that this team is going to sink or swim based on the quarterback position first and foremost, as most teams do. Seems to be healthy right now. Yeah, how do you feel about your quarterback position going into this season?
I'd probably feel worse if I had to drink, you know, some of that icy light with mango tonight. That would be about it. Yeah, I have the misfortune. I'm on a very bad Titan jersey streak because I had a Vince Young jersey, and I had that the nameplate changed to Locker. And I'm telling the Titans organization right now, if Locker doesn't make the team next year, do not, like, burn the number 10. Like, do the opposite of retiring it. Don't let anybody wear it for at least 10 years. Just give us a little bit of a break. Between him and Chris Johnson, I have a Pac-Man Jones in the closet, too. So it's a... It's a pretty rough time for a Titans cul-de-sac, as I like to call it.
You might be best just to get one of those personalized jerseys. Now, generally, I'm of the opinion that the guy who does that's a jerk, but in this case, we might be able to make an exception. Just go ahead and get the personalized jersey.
Well, I don't want to get you guys angry. You've been, you know, a little feisty lately. I like it.
It's been a rough few months. It gets tough in the summer here.
That's true, but, you know, from a fantasy perspective, looking in the Tennessee backfield, you know, everybody, and I like him too, don't get me wrong, you know, Bishop Sankey. But I tell you what, you got a guy making $3 million sitting on the bench, and Sean Green, I don't think he's going to be on the bench all that long, and it makes me wonder. Of course, you got McCluster in there as well, and as Rick likes to bring up, Jackie Battle as the official running back of the asylum.
That's my man.
From about 3 years ago. It seems to me that there's just not a whole lot of significant fantasy value in that backfield anywhere.
Well, I could see how you like Jackie Battle. I mean, he was the key man in that game-leading touchdown last year when the Titans took Steelers down. So, but, yeah, he's pretty much what we call a replacement-level player, a nice special teams guy. But Sean Green, it's weird because the Titans signed him to this 3-year, $9 million deal last winner, and basically this offseason, that's what every running back got, maybe a little bit more. I mean, Donald Brown got that much to be a third string running back, so I don't know about the money. I mean, the Titans might be throwing like $10 million at Michael Oher, who might not even, you know, start for them. So it's hard to say. You got all this money to spend. What are you going to do? But Bishop Sankey was definitely brought in. Like, their second round pick was in like permanent marker. It was going to be a running back. I was actually happy that they traded down and still got their guy. They got the first running back off the board. Sankey's just a tough guy to figure out because all the stats guys seem to love him, and all the people that watch his film seem to think that he kind of struggles on first contact and he's having trouble finding the holes. But then again, we had Chris Johnson, who kind of wanted to push everything outside, so it's hard to say. It seems like in terms of rookies in fantasy, there were a lot more guys who had obvious jobs last year, and Sankey's the only guy this year. I've been seeing him going in like the fourth and fifth round. That's not a bad gamble for a guy who could be a three-down back.
Yeah, no doubt. He seems to be that guy. There's those couple of guys, rookies especially, every year that start to creep up the draft board as the summer goes along. It looks like Sankey's that guy. Seems to have all the measurables. And in all likelihood, there may be a bit of a battle with Sean Green. I'm getting the impression, I don't know what the temperature is down there, that he's going to be given every opportunity for this job to be his and to be an every down back.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think last year they signed Sean Green. He actually looked pretty good in the preseason, but he got injured and he missed like the first month. That gave Jackie Battle a shot to get some playing time and actually make the roster. And he's had knee surgery this off season, so really it seems like it's Sankey's job to lose. Although I'm intrigued and a little bit scared that they decided that Dexter McCluster is going to be their Danny Woodhead, because he's never really done that before in his career. He seems like one of those guys that is amazing in college, and then he gets to the NFL and finds out he's undersized, he's not that fast, he has like 9 touchdowns in 4 years in the NFL, and averages like 9 yards a catch. So I'm intrigued to see what they're going to do. I don't feel a lot of upside, but maybe that caps Sankey as well, because they may have an automatic third down back. But after just handing Chris Johnson a bunch of useless carries the last few years, they probably want to get their best guy on the field every down, even if it's maybe relatively not that good.
Realistically, we're looking at it may be the weakest division in the league. Obviously, I think the Colts are the team to beat. I can't see Houston being as bad as they were last year. It just seemed like all four wheels came off at the same time. I mean, this is a playoff team, the last 2-3 years before that, with a couple of wins under the belt, albeit over Cincinnati in the playoffs, but they still had a couple of wins. Jacksonville seemed to have a great draft and improving. Tennessee's got a tough road to hoe if they're going to make any strides at all, I think.
Well, at least I was glad that the Texans decided to not grab a quarterback early, although really at the beginning of the second round, I don't think there was much for them. Feel free to go after Tom Savage. He got Pittsburgh guys. Remember him leading them to some bowl named after a tire or something? They're gonna take down all the Marino stuff and replace it with the Tom Savage era.
Now you can't get on that there. We wash our hands of Tom Savage real quick.
Yeah, I had the unfortunate situation of being a Pitt season ticket holder, which in the football forum is unfortunate enough as it is, but to watch each game last season and watch him just languish, how he ever became the hot commodity he became as the winter wore on and we got into spring and draft, I will never understand it. He must have had just an amazing pro day. To this day, I can't explain what happened. I've watched the young man play football and a lot of football, and you as a Titans fan don't need to worry any about Tom Savage, but I'm sure you already knew that.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that Ryan Fitzpatrick will be the Texans guy. Everybody's talking big about the Jags, and they got their quarterback, and they've stocked their defensive line with a lot of ex-Super Bowl guys, so they should be better. They were so bad the first half of last year, but of course, it's fall when the Titans give an AFC South team their first win of the year, because they've been doing that like 2-3 years in a row. Because the Jaguars, of course, got to beat them. And yes, it's really hard to say, because the Colts don't really seem like they're that good, and it seems like all their front office does is overpay mediocre guys in free agency and not commit to Andrew Luck being their guy. But he always beats the crap out of the Titans. And the Texans, they just fell apart emotionally. They just couple of bad finishes, a couple of Matt Schaub pick sixes, and they were done for the year. It seems like they have the defense in order. I just don't really know what they're going to do with the offense.
Yeah.
So, it's open for them to come in second, but it's like, the second best of what? Second place team in the division could go 6-10.
Yeah, yeah, certainly a possibility there. So, so from a fantasy perspective, let's keep with the Titans, and we'll expand out to the rest of the division a little bit. So obviously you have the Sankey question mark, nothing at the quarterback position. A guy that does intrigue me is Kendall Wright. This is a guy on the rise on draft boards. He's put together a great second half last year. This is a guy I have my eye on, and I think a guy, if they can get the ball to him, this guy, the sky's the limit for this young man.
Yeah, he really did come on. I just remember seeing all his Baylor highlights, and it's of him getting like 80-yard touchdowns from Robert Griffin. And in year one, he was getting a lot of screens and slants, and they expanded his route tree a little bit last year, but he's still kind of their slot guy. You know, the yards per catch isn't that great. Only had two touchdowns, not a ton of red zone. But maybe that's a place where he has some room to grow. I mean, I got him as like a third receiver in an MFL 10, I don't know, what, fifth, sixth round. It seems like a guy who can catch 90 passes, and maybe he can bump those two touchdowns to six. It looks pretty good because you're not sure what you're going to get out of Justin Hunter yet, and Delaney Walker's, he's all right. He doesn't have very good hands. So he's definitely the number one target for the team. So, yeah, 90 to 100 passes from a guy you might get as your wide receiver three seems like a pretty good deal. And anytime you see a Titans name on your draft board, you're like, ugh, you know, you kind of get that. You know, not that kind of queasy feeling. So, yeah, it's still feel pretty good about his prospects this year.
Yeah, let's swing to Indianapolis real quick. You mentioned Andrew Luck and so forth. I tell you what, I really like the pickup, the acquisition in the offseason of Hakeem Nicks. You got Reggie Wayne coming back. Of course, you got T.Y. Hilton out of Brazil. He's suspended, but, you know, I don't really think that matters. But, you know, from a fantasy perspective, I know Rick's really high in Andrew Luck this year. He's got him in his top five quarterbacks, and but I really like that combination of veteran presence, you know, with some good hands, and they still got Hilton and so forth. And you know, playing Jacksonville, Houston, and Tennessee twice, this could be a very high powered fantasy offense.
Another advantage the division gets is they had the NFC West last year. I think this year they get the NFC East, which is defense optional. I mean, Andrew Luck, you know, facial hair aside, he's basically a Peyton Manning who can run. And he really is kind of like Russell Wilson. Like, he only runs when he has to. And he gets those annoying, like, John Elway, like, back in the pocket for 10 seconds and finds a guy downfield or, you know, just gets past the sticks to get that first down. He hasn't had the big explosion fantasy-wise yet, but I've been seeing him. Seems like he's going about where he should, because I've been seeing him like number four, number five, maybe after Stafford. But yeah, it seems the sky's the limit, and he doesn't have that guy that's like his one target receiver. He definitely spreads the field out, which that side might be a little bit iffy fantasy-wise. I just don't know if Reggie Wayne's going to be, you know, like a number one guy coming off of an ACL tear, and was he 35 years old?
Yeah,
it's hard to say what has left.
It's a good thing.
I mean, the one guy I like is kind of a sleeper is Dwayne Allen, just because Kobe Fleener, he had the shot last year with Allen injured, and he proved that he's kind of a mediocre NFL talent. So Dwayne Allen could be a guy who's like a red zone target, maybe can get like eight touchdowns. And if you're waiting on your tight end, you know, after about the first four or five guys, he's got as good a shot as anybody.
Yeah, yeah, definitely a guy I have my eye on. So let's swing around to the Texans. We got the Andre Johnson saga. Yeah, I have a feeling, I don't think there's a lot to discuss there. I think he will show up eventually. The question mark there, and you wouldn't have thought he'd be a question mark 2 years ago specifically, is Arian Foster. They let Ben Tate go. That showed me that they have some faith in Arian Foster. And this is a guy. Yeah, I don't know how many drafts you're in right now, how much mocking you're doing at this point. I've seen this guy go in the first round. I've seen him go early in the third round. It's really hard to slot Arian Foster. A lot of question marks surrounding him.
Well, you know me, there's plenty of mocking going on. I think I saw him go like number five or six in a mock, and it was kind of like, whoa. Of course, I was looking at a spreadsheet. I'm actually looking at like a dynasty draft. He was like at the end of the second round. I guess he's kind of after the Giovanni Bernard, Le'Veon Bell kind of group. I mean, he's getting up there in age, and any guy that comes off an injury as a running back could get a little bit, you know, nervous about his ability to come back. It seems like they have a pretty good offensive line, but, boy, they don't have a pretty good quarterback situation there. Ryan Fitzpatrick, he looks great for like five passes in a row, and you know, when's he going to do the really dumb thing? Oh, look, he just did that.
Yeah, there.
Well,
yeah, that's
a stream your Titans defense against the Texans. That's about all the team defense advice I'd be giving this evening.
Yeah, probably all we need too. So, and then swing it over to Jacksonville. I guess we'll wrap it up with that. The only thing I really find intriguing there, again sticking with the running back situation, is Toby Gerhardt. This is another guy sort of bouncing all over the place on boards. Seemed to be able to get him fairly cheap. I've seen him down in the fifth and sixth round at some point. Be interesting to see what this guy does when he gets every down back carries.
Yeah, he was the sort of infamous on Twitter that he was at the MFL 10 of death. I think he went like in the third round. He does seem to be moving up to the point where you wonder if he's going to be a value, but you just look at teams these days and go, who's going to be the three-down guy for a team? And he'll probably get touches even if they're losing. Toby Gerhardt looks pretty good for getting a potential 250, 300 touches. Who knows about the touchdowns, but you can still get him in a little late, running back two, running back three. Looks like a pretty good value, because otherwise, yeah, you're not picking up Chad Henne. I mean, Bortles is just a dynasty play. You're not sure about Shorts just because he was hurt last year, and then all these rookie receivers. So, yeah, it's kind of like, all right, running back and, pass.
Yeah, and then I'm out, and no thank you on Mercedes Lewis always. This is a guy I seem to end up with during bye weeks, and it's just I might as well have just left it blank. So let's get to more important things, Zach. November 17th, Monday Night Football, live on ESPN. The Pittsburgh Steelers travel to Tennessee. Ahead of you having a very unappealing beverage, is it too early to predict the outcome of this game?
Probably predict. I hope it's not as bad as that Titans. It was the Jets game a couple years ago where Chris Johnson had like a long touchdown run, and then it was everybody rooting for Tebow to get in, and both teams were trying to lose, I think. And yeah, this is November. I mean, hopefully the Steelers can put it together. They seem to just want to get older every year. I don't know what that's all about, but they've had I can't say that last year's opening game was pretty, but it was definitely old-school football, a lot of running going on. And 2 years ago, they had that game-winning field goal to make our Pittsburgh clan that came down quite upset because they were penciling in that victory. So, yeah, it's going to be every NFL team is required to get a primetime game, and, hey, look, the Titans get the Steelers. How about that? Way to go, America. We all win, right?
Everybody's a winner. You get Mike Tomlin's antics on the sidelines, and what I certainly hope and predict, Rick, to be a drubbing by the Steelers. And now in this bet, Rick, I haven't really been involved in this. I was obviously aware it was going on. Are we talking just one of these mango? What is it? What's this thing again? Lime icy light, mango icy light. What is it?
It's warm icy light with mango.
So they make this, or he's putting the mango in it.
Oh, it exists.
Really?
I looked it up. I was like, how many old school like steel workers from Pittsburgh are just like rolling over? Like, really?
Yeah, I mean,
this country for this. Are you kidding me? You should be getting upset about this. This is, you know, I feel a column coming up. But
it's one of these where
nobody wins. Everybody's a loser. And I don't know. Maybe I'll put it on YouTube and maybe shotgun it, so at least it'll be quick.
Yeah, I mean,
not painless, quick.
Icy Light's one of the most vile substances on the planet as it is. I don't think cramming a mango in there is going to make it any better.
Well, especially with mango, I think they're just a hideous fruit anyway.
Yeah, the whole thing, it's just not a good... So we're only drinking one? You only have to drink the one? Are we drinking a six-pack and then
doing a retrospective
afterwards?
When was the last time you have drunk, whatever the proper thing is, a warm Icy Light?
I can't say as I've ever done. Well, no, that's not true. Probably at an occasional pirate game, I forget about one for a while. It's been a good while, though.
Yeah, but isn't one enough? Adding mango.
Yeah.
And
we don't want to kill him. I actually like Zach, so we don't want anything awful to happen to him.
Nice.
Well, you know, let's not put the cart before the horse. This bet is before the game is played, and it hasn't been played yet in the last 2 years. Certainly don't mean Steeler win.
I'm chalking this one up as a win. So we'll get
so
it
goes double
there.
For you since you've already kind of the winner.
All right, I'll drink two. That's fine. What's a Titans game like? If I showed up down there, would they try to kill me?
What, the Titans fans?
Yeah.
I've seen – it's weird. We have, like, these end zone seats, and it seems like all the seats in front of us end up getting sold to fans of the other team, and especially the Steelers game. Usually that's one where – season ticket holders are like, you know, screw it, we'll get a premium out of this. Because we're going to have family coming down. It's like, it doesn't matter if the game's like at a Wednesday at 2 p.m. It's like the family from around the country. I'm sure, because I've been in Pittsburgh, that there's still Pittsburghers there. But, boy, they come to every road game like crazy. And, yeah, you'll have plenty of company with plenty of terrible towels. I hope you don't get, you know, insulted if someone doesn't, you know, wave it properly, you know. Hope you can handle that, but yeah, you'd be treated well. Maybe like the Bears fans that actually like sold a bar out of beer because they drank so much when they visited a couple years ago. Come on, you can drink more than a Bears fan, right?
Oh, no question about it, unless it's that mango stuff. So we'll stick to good old fashioned icy light.
Yeah, that doesn't qualify. But no, I've lived in the South quite a few years, and it seems to be plenty of Steeler fans no matter what town I was in. In fact, when I lived in Richmond for quite some time, there were Steeler bars. You know what I mean? That's where Steeler fans would go, and, you know, they did a Steeler Nation everywhere.
Well, no Titan bars in Pittsburgh, though. I haven't run into one of those.
Pretty sure. I don't know if they exist. Although, strangely, last fall I was in San Francisco, and I ended up in a Vikings bar. It was across the street from a Bills bar, and I really wondered if they got into the street and got into a tussle, who would win. I was kind of like, whoa, okay, I thought San Francisco is a town that can think about other stuff besides football, but no, they had.
Yeah, that's the fans. That could be a good fight. So, Zach, one last thing I wanted to ask you about, we definitely appreciated last year the books you put out, There Is No Off Season and There's Still No Off Season. Really cool perspective from everybody and a ton of work to put it out there. And I think, you know, still relevant for everybody to go check out. So why don't you tell everybody about that a little bit, the process of putting it together, and tell them where they can find it, too.
Well, thank you very much. I basically started my own blog, I don't know, like in 2006, and then I was on writing for a fantasy site, but then I kind of quit that, and in 2011 I was like, well, what can I do to fill kind of a niche in the industry? So I was like, why don't I just interview people? So that means I don't have to be an expert. I can just use other people's expertise. So I started with Andy Miley, a Steelers fan. I swear 25% of the people I've interviewed have been Steelers fans. It's kind of crazy. Well, I've been on a bit of a Lions run of late, which is very odd. But, yeah, once I finished the first 50 interviews, which I put on my site, Zach Vaughn Online, I put them together into an e-book. And then once I got through 51 through 100, I put book number two. Not sure yet about book number three. We'll see what happens there. But, the first 100 are out there, and I try to do one every week or at least every other week and ask important questions about our society today, like football or sex. What do you think of more? And I've gotten some – because I guess anybody can ask questions about football, but you want to get to know the person as an individual occasionally a little bit, like, you know, what kind of beer you like.
Right.
And, just get to know these people a little bit better so maybe you can have some extra snack talk, like, involving – Bad Light beer.
Well, and the sex or football question. As I read through, I bought both books, both electronic versions. It seemed to come in about a hearty 85% of us are choosing football over sex. So I don't know if that's an indictment on us as individuals on sex these days. I'm not sure which it is, but we seem to lean towards the football side.
I think we have some degenerates. For sure. It's finally like when you actually think. I think somebody actually charted how often they thought, and they were like, "Well, actually, I think about football more often, but I think about sex longer or something." You know, he was actually doing the math.
Well, there's some science.
You know, people get that.
Yeah,
I mean, it depends on what time of year, right? I mean, it's summer, there's nothing going on, but when the football season is on, we know the term football widow pretty well.
Yeah, that's true. They may think about sex longer, but they watch fantasy football, or I mean, watch football a lot longer.
That's right. I've watched, there's most Sundays I watch the Red Zone channel for 11 straight hours. I mean, to tell you, I have never had sex for 11. Hell, I haven't had it for 11 straight minutes, let alone 11 straight hours. So I think there's your answer right there. It makes perfect sense when you break it down that way.
Like John Madden, just go boom at the end and say it. Boom.
Boom. There, Brett Favre, boom there. But so are you, while we have you on here, are you going to have your discussion with, Andrew Bowman, the fantasy acumen? I know you had technical difficulties last week, and maybe you can tell us about that a little bit.
I'm not sure if we're going to do it. I haven't actually followed up since last week. There were some issues, and I think he's in North Carolina. He was having some kind of hurricane going on, so, yeah, it was a bit of a problem. We got into a little disagreement on the Washington team name. I know you don't, care either way, but, had a little bit of a discussion on Twitter, and I realized Twitter, 140 characters, kind of hard to get into any kind of detail, so why don't we talk about it in a hangout? And really, that's one thing I'd like to do, because once you interview somebody a first time, everybody's continuing to do work. Some people leave the industry, but a lot of people keep going. So it's like, well, what do you have now to talk about? So I'm trying to do some, Google Hangouts myself to, catch up on people, like Denny Carter's got a book. A lot of people seem to have books now. I'd like to say I started that trend, but it really wasn't. Let's say I started and other people have taken it a lot further in a good way. So, yeah, just wanted to talk about the name a little bit. I'm not sure. We might have to push that to next week. I seem to be a busy guy lately. I'm doing a weekly hangout with Sharona, who's also a Titans fan. So we talk half about the Titans and half about football, fantasy, whatever we got going on. Beer, important stuff.
Oh, exactly. I mean, you can't stray too far away from the basic essentials of life. There's no question about that.
That is true. And, one of these days I need to get, a sponsor beer, but that would mean I can only drink one kind of beer. That just wouldn't work.
Yeah, well, we'll talk to the folks at Icy Light, see if we can get your face on the can, on that mango can, if we can do it. Well, Zach, we are up against the clock. We thank you so much for coming on this week. It's ZachLawOnline.com. Why don't you tell everyone where they can find you, Twitter, Facebook, this Google Hangout thing, all this newfangled technology we don't understand.
Well, it's just ZACH_LAW on Twitter, Zach Law on Google+. So there really it's Twitter pretty much 24/7. I had a friend tell me, you tweet 10 times a day. I'm like, 10 times an hour? Yeah,
it doesn't sound like
come to social media, you pick the one you like. And it's like, do I really have to repost this on 27 social networks? You know where to find me. I mean, trying to post, I'm doing mock drafts and real drafts and just kind of the experience I'm having with them. And then doing the interviews, I got, Jay does Number Fire, and he's with the Total Team Fantasy. He'll be the next interview, should be probably coming up early next week. And they have a big announcement to come shortly, but sadly I can't make any official proclamation. So just find me on Twitter and you'll see what's going on. You'll hear more than you probably want to hear, but that's okay.
Oh, no, we always want more, that's for sure. But Zach Law, we certainly appreciate you coming on, and I hope we get you on while the season's – yeah, we have to have you on, what is it, Monday Night Football? Either
Monday
the Wednesday
night.
After. Yeah, maybe we can
– if I survive.
Yeah, we'll have to figure out when the game time comes to get you back on, that's for sure. But, Zach, we certainly appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot, Ricks, for having me. You're swell guys.
All right, thank you very much.
Golly, thanks.
All right, that was Zach Law. Rick, quite the bet going on. We better win this one. I wasn't even aware this mango thing existed until you two started talking about it.
Well,
so
if you paid attention to anything other than yourself, you'd have realized this probably weeks ago.
Why would I pay attention to that, though? Certainly not that I'm interested in. So be a big, big Steeler homer that week.
So you are not interested in the Steeler-Tennessee game?
I'm very interested in the game.
Oh, there you have.
I just wasn't aware of this beer. I'm not one that I wasn't aware of the bet. I wasn't aware the beer existed. How would I know this?
research.
It watch what you go through all this, and Iron City will wise up before the before November comes, and you won't be able to find a can of it anyway. You'll probably find it on eBay or something, right?
Oh, this price will skyrocket.
Yeah, that's true. Scarcity, you know, build fake panic. Everybody looking for that mango icy light, Rick. So let's move on. Let's swing it back to fantasy football. We talked going into the prep for this week, and one thing we run into, there's so many times when you talk about, you know, and it's what's tough with what we do here is coming up with, you know, you don't want the conversation to be, Rick, you got the eighth pick, what's your team going to look like? What are you targeting? Without knowing the situation surrounding things. So we thought, let's build between you and I, no communication ahead of time, just some plausible scenarios you're going to face in your draft and what direction you're leaning, what you're thinking right now. If nothing else to show you, as I do the air quotes, if we want to consider ourselves fantasy experts and the fantasy experts out there, to sort of give you a view into our thought process in making some of these decisions based on the scenarios we have. And I think this is important to talk about what we were talking about at the top of the show. This year more than ever is things are just all over the place, and there's going to be scenarios where you can't even just follow your rankings. You certainly can't follow those rankings in that magazine you bought back in May.
Oh, exactly. There's no question about that. And we decided to come up with some draft scenarios, like Rick mentioned. And, you know, you may or may not face the ones that we present, but you're certainly going to be in some similar situations somewhere along the line. And I'll tell you what, I'll start it off. I'm going to give you a draft scenario, Rick.
All right.
And you're going to give me your opinion. All right? You're in the third round.
Okay, third round.
You have implemented the wide receiver strategy and netted Demaryius Thomas and Julio Jones.
Well, I like that. That doesn't sound bad so far.
It is now your pick. The highest rated running back is Alfred Morris.
Okay.
Would you, if drafting in the third round, take Morris, Roddy White, or Matt Stafford?
Oh, okay, that's interesting. You know, one thing I find interesting is why all of a sudden Alfred Morris has fallen into the third round. This was an 11th, 12th, 13th pick last year, had an equally good year. I know in PPR formats he's not as valuable. The fact that he's fallen into the third round, if I can have Demaryius Thomas, Julio Jones, and Alfred Morris, I love the beginnings of that team. Roddy White, Rick, I know he's your boy. Coming off that injury, just in general, he doesn't blow my skirt up, especially in the third round. Matt Stafford is interesting. The quarterback position is so deep this year. There's 12 guys I'm comfortable with, so presumably as long as I go early enough before the few clown shoes who start drafting their second quarterback too early, I can get a guy I'm just as comfortable with at quarterback position. I would love to jump all over Alfred Morris in that spot.
I'm going to have to agree with you 100%. I think Roddy White is intriguing, but if you're sitting there with Demaryius Thomas and Julio Jones, I mean, you've got a good foundation at wide receiver. And
you don't have to draft receiver again until the ninth round.
Yeah, or at least
you don't
maybe,
have to. You
no,
can.
You don't have
you don't
to.
Have
but
to.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't have to, depending on how many you start. You might, but yeah, and to pass up on Alfred Morris, who is arguably an RB1 in many expert rankings. Yeah, you're right. I just agree 100%.
All right, Rick. I'm going to give you – I'm kind of proud of this one. I put some thought into this week, Rick. So these scenarios might be a little tough. But I find – I've run into this more so with the Broncos. You saw it a lot last year. But I'll just read it to you. I won't do a bunch of build-up.
Right.
You drafted Eddie Lacy sixth overall.
Okay.
Sound reasonable, right?
Right.
In the second round, you take Aaron Rodgers, who was your highest-ranked player. Right. Maybe not something you're likely to do. All right, here you go.
Yeah.
So you've got Eddie Lacy. In the second round, you take Aaron Rodgers. When it comes back to you in the third round, Rick, the highest player on your board is Randall Cobb. Do you make that pick, or do you deliberately avoid putting all of your eggs in one team's basket?
That's a good, very good scenario. I wasn't seeing where you were going there. I just write names down. Yeah, I would probably avoid him. Depending on who's out there, I mean, obviously, if Cobb's the highest-ranked guy there,
there's probably equivalent.
There's going to be an equivalent guy right next to him. And I would probably go with the other guy. and be it Pierre Garçon or Keenan Allen, something of that ilk, I have to assume.
Right. Yeah.
So that's probably what I'd do. I'd probably go away from that.
Yeah, we saw scenarios last year. I think we saw it in the League of Consequence, didn't we, Rick, where a guy had Peyton Manning, Demaryius Thomas, and
No Sean Moreno.
And it worked out for him, but if the offense doesn't run as well as you have, you're going to have games where the offense is down and you're going to hurt the bye week, you're in real trouble, which I don't tend to consider the bye week when I'm drafting. A lot of guys do. I'd almost rather have everybody on a bye in 1 week. I'll just punt that week and really roll strong rather than being somewhat depleted week in and week out for 4 or 5 weeks. But I agree. For my first three picks to all come from the same squad, it would make me nervous. It really would.
Yeah, and, you know, given great case in point, not saying the Packers would be in danger of this. However, we saw what happened to Houston and Atlanta last year.
Right, right.
And you get a couple significant injuries.
Maybe some offensive line injuries.
The wheel falls off. The defense, there may be some injuries there, and things just start happening, and everything just goes down the tubes. I don't want to take that risk.
Right.
You know, because now I'm jeopardizing my entire season as well.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Okay, Mr. Fliger, you are the 12th pick overall.
All right, I like that spot.
So far, it has gone McCoy, Charles, Peterson, Forte, Lacy, Lynch, Le'Veon Bell.
I see where you're going here.
Calvin. Manning, trying to be realistic here.
Okay.
Dez and Arian Foster.
Oh, okay.
Is this the place at 12 or 13 that you would consider taking Aaron Rodgers?
No. No, not at this point. Especially, generally, Rick, I advocate start the run, don't be at the end of one. But it's clearly been demonstrated in this league that the running backs are going to be at a premium. I don't know who it is. I'm going to be reaching for a guy. Who's next on this list, Rick?
DeMarco Foster, Murray, right?
Yeah,
something like that.
I'm looking DeMarco Murray. I'm looking maybe, although he seems to keep slipping, Gio Bernard. I'm going to get a running back out of that first 12 or 13. And Rick, maybe to set me apart, this might be where I start looking Jimmy Graham, or, you know, we're down to Dez. You know, look, Demaryius Thomas is still on the board. I think at this point I'm going to DeMarco Murray, Demaryius Thomas. Back same point with Matt Stafford. Boy, I'd love to have Aaron Rodgers, but with this run at the running back position, I'm going to have to go against my traditional thought process and hop in the middle of this run before. If I wait until coming back at the bottom of the third round, I'm in big trouble all of a sudden.
Yeah, I'm with you, especially in a PPR format. I'm going Reggie Bush, or I'm going DeMarco Murray, something like that right there. And then maybe Demaryius Thomas, Brandon Marshall, or maybe even another running back. Maybe Zach Stacy. It's hard to say. If they're going that quickly in the first
round. Maybe put yourself in the position you may be one of the only guys who has two.
Right.
With this ridiculous run, these guys come back up, there's going to be nobody left for them. Maybe you put yourself ahead by being the one guy with two top 15 talents at running back. You're going to be the only guy that has that with the run that happened in this draft. And this could happen. This is a plausible scenario.
Yeah. I put a lot of thought into it.
There you go.
There you go.
All right, Rick. You are drafting. You are picking third in your draft.
Okay.
You take one of the big five running backs in the first. I'm not going to give specific players here, so you don't have to worry about that. So you take one of the big running backs in the first, and then you grab a second-tier running back in the second round. I don't know, maybe Gio Bernard is a guy who's going about in that area. I've seen Arian Foster fall in there. So let's say you've got, just to throw some names around it, you've got Adrian Peterson and you have Arian Foster.
Okay.
That sounds pretty good so far.
Yeah.
Well, I can't use Gio Bernard, and you'll see why. Because the next part of the question, you take your second-tier running back in the second. In the third, Gio Bernard has fallen to you in the third round. Do you pull the trigger on Gio and go three running backs in a row, or do you go ahead and go with your highest-ranked wide receiver right there? And you could take Bernard out and plug in somebody else. I don't want to marry you to a player. What it's getting to, are if the value's right, are you going to go three receivers in a row or three running backs in a row?
I'm going to say I tell you what, with a Bernard, something like that, I may consider that if I'm starting two running backs in a flex position. It's very possible I could. And then hopefully I can stock up some running back talent, or excuse me, wide receiver talent in the next four rounds. You know, that way I'll be through seven rounds, eighth round, I'll still get a quarterback and still could be okay that way. Because, I tell you what, you're very strong. You lose a running back, you still got two top 15 starters.
Right.
So, yeah, I tell you what, I would give serious pause before I pass him up in the third round. Because, look, Dez, whatever, Demaryius Thomas, Brandon Marshall, name them, they're gone in the first two rounds.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, there's talent out there, no doubt. But then again, now you have to weigh Giovanni Bernard against, Victor Cruz, something like that maybe?
Let's see.
Macklin?
Let's look at the third-round receivers in the Invitational here. Pierre Garçon, so far he's the only one. Yeah, Pierre Garçon was actually – Cordell Patterson were the two in the third round. Then you swing back around and you
see Fitzgerald.
A little
atypical with the two quarterbacks.
Right. It's not ideal, but that's the tier you're on with the receivers. To your point, down through Alshon Jeffrey and that top tier receivers, they're gone at that point by the time we get to the third round. You could probably get equivalent talent in the fourth and fifth.
I can remember not too many years ago in our draft in the League of Consequence, if you recall. And I can't remember my first two, but I think it was something on the line of Maurice Jones-Drew and, help me out, I can't remember, something like a Foster,
right.
Maurice Jones-Drew, and LeGarrette Blount after his big year.
Right.
Tampa was sitting there in the third round, and I took him.
Right.
It burned me bad.
Yeah. Because Blount didn't work.
It was just a total bust.
Right. But the theory, though, I don't have an issue. Now the problem, I guess, becomes you better make sure you're you better be darn confident in that third guy, because if he washes out, that's going to hurt you because you've moved your whole draft strategy down one more round.
Right.
Because I think your strategy would have generally been, had there not been that guy sitting there that intrigued you, was to go wide receiver there, and now you've pushed everything down around when one of those guys washes out on you.
Yeah, and it turned out that Blount was not even the guy that year, and it was a bad. But Giovanni Bernard, I feel, is much safer.
Yeah.
So I would certainly give, like I said, a lot of pause before I pass up on him. Okay, you have found yourself stocking up on wide receivers and running backs. You look at the draft board in the ninth round and find you don't have a quarterback or a tight end.
Okay.
Very plausible.
Very. Right? For me, especially. Yeah. I face this every draft.
You look at who's left and find a quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, Andy Dalton, Colin Kaepernick, and Eli Manning are the top quarterbacks left. At tight end, you find Kyle Rudolph, Charles Clay, and Tyler Eifert are the only top 15 tight ends left.
Okay.
All right? You are 10th in the round, meaning you will pick again in five picks
coming back.
You know the two guys behind you are eyeing the same two positions as you.
Okay.
Who do you pick in this first one?
I think if somebody else is in the same position as me, I'm going to get the quarterback, Rick, and it's going to come down to Roethlisberger. I'll tell you what, I'm not a fan of the guy, but if Kaepernick's in the ninth round, I think the upside's there with him. I'm going to take the quarterback, and here's why. If the two behind me are in the same situation I am, I think in general, I'm going to start to run there. If I take the quarterback, they're going to take the quarterback. You understand what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
If I take the tight end, they're going to really hit the panic button and take the tight end. I think you put all of those tight ends you mentioned in a bag and pull them out. One of them's going to be left when it swings back around. I don't feel strongly enough about Eifert, Rudolph, and who was it? Clay was the other one. there's no separation to them for me. It's at that point, I'm using the tight end as a throwaway position. I'm going to get my man at the quarterback, and I don't know right now. Offhand, I'm going to go with Kaepernick. You know, Roethlisberger may be the pick there. But I'm going to set the trend there, because if I go tight end and they go Kaepernick, Roethlisberger, now I'm sitting looking at Eli and who? Andy Dalton?
Yeah.
Is that the other name you threw out?
Uh-huh.
I don't like that. I'm happy if I go – if I go – I just sound like I was from Baltimore. If I go with the tight end there, it spins back around. Both those quarterbacks go. If I go with the quarterback, the next two are tight ends that go. I'll take the one of the three that's left, and I'm perfectly comfortable with that.
Yeah, I think, to me, Roethlisberger is the pick there. And probably Kaepernick, and then Dalton, and then Eli, I think, to me, in that order. But, yeah, the tight ends don't trip my trigger, and I really couldn't put anybody of any super value up there
right,
at tight end
right.
because they're not going to be there.
They're not going to be
you
there.
You know, you're
right.
not going to have you just won't have the top tight ends there at that time. And I agree with you. You get the guy who's going to produce the most points.
Right, no doubt about it. All right, Rick, this one's going to be very similar to the last scenario I gave you, but just enough of a difference to get away with it. It's the fifth round of your draft, Rick. In typical Rick Briggs fashion, I wrote that down like that, you have drafted three running backs and one wide receiver. When your pick comes up, a running back on whom you are high has inexplicably dropped into the fifth round, and you have this guy ranked 10 spots higher than any of the remaining wide receivers or quarterbacks. Do you draft the fourth running back or let them go and make sure you fill out your other positions?
Oh, I'm getting the running back. And for the simple reason, he's the best player on the board. Number two, I think there's enough wide receiver talent up there that I can certainly fill in my roster. And if I've got four quality running backs, week 6 to 8 somewhere comes along, somebody's going to need a running back.
Right.
And I'm going to find my weak spot in my roster, and I can fill it. If I need to, providing my team stayed healthy via trade. And like I said, I think I have plenty of talent in the NFL to pick out wide receiver talent and put in enough support for my running backs. And I'm assuming I can start two running backs and one in a flex.
Right.
So,
exactly. So you're going to start three of them.
Yeah, which is pretty typical. So, yeah, I have no problem whatsoever to lock up the best players on the board.
Right, and the pushback on that from others, I agree with you, and you know I agree with you, and I knew the answer to the
right.
question before I asked you that. But I think to the average fantasy player, when I asked that question, they scoffed and said, well, you're not going to take a guy, and here's the other side of it. One of those guys, this guy, or one of the three previous you drafted, are going to be on the bench, and you haven't filled out one or two of your other starting positions. Throw the quarterback out, but you don't have your second wide receiver. You're at minimum going to have to start a second wide receiver. To your point, I can't stand the guy who's drafting for trade bait, but there's a difference between drafting a guy just with the idea of trading him and drafting depth, and knowing with depth gives you the ability to make some moves and come out on the upper end of a deal like that. So I tend to agree with it. It would depend on that wide receiver talent out there. But in this scenario, this guy was right. You had him ranked 10 spots higher than that first wide receiver you'd taken. Give yourself that depth, and if you're confident that you can put together a good receiving core, why wouldn't you do it? You're in the fifth round now. Now it's time to start best player on the board. I think the fifth round is where that begins.
Exactly. And to expand on that point, number one, no, you're not drafting for trade bait. You are building depth on your roster. I'm saying if you find yourself, if you find a weak spot, you're going
to
find
you've got room to move. Then.
Yeah, you can actually find somebody that is willing to pay dearly to try to save their season. Number two, and I'll just throw a name out there. Say this running back was whatever, Reggie Bush. You're not going to be in a fourth, whatever, but I know. He's not hurting you by being on somebody else's roster, even if he is on your bench. So, I mean,
he's not helping you, but he's not hurting you anywhere either.
He is helping you in a way because he's not playing you.
That's
and
18
I know,
points a week, somebody else isn't scoring.
Right, exactly. And, you know, there's more than one way to look at it. Yeah, he's not doing me any good, but yes, he is. Number one, you're resting easy because he is on your bench, and no matter what happens to your to your three guys, you have him to put in there at any time you feel.
Right.
Every bye week, one of these guys is off, you got this guy to throw in.
Injury, you're not concerned
injuries,
about a running back
exactly.
injury.
Exactly. I'd rather sleep comfortably at night knowing my roster's got plenty of healthy talent than hope one of my two running backs doesn't get hurt.
Yeah, and most of us find ourselves in that situation, especially how many guys just draft to fill positions. They fill all their starting positions, maybe save for tight end, before they start looking for that depth. I don't think that's a wise draft strategy. It's best player available. Fill your team with as much talent as you can.
Exactly. Now, here's more of an individual question.
Let me get my pen out.
But it's also a scenario where a lot of people find themselves. Okay, now it depends on who you have, who you've drafted so far. But do you take Jason Witten over Julian Edelman?
Oh, you know what, Rick? I'm going to throw Witten out. I was in a situation in the Invitational when I took Eric Decker. I talked about the last pick I made was Eric Decker. Jordan Cameron was still available. So it would be the same thing. Witten, but I see why you go Witten Edelman because of the PPR circumstances.
This is a multiple question. And just assume that he's not there. I mean, for some inexplicable reason, the top whatever, you know, your Graham and Gronk
right.
and Julius Thomas is gone, and we'll throw in Greg Olsen's
so
out of there.
The last legitimate
he's the last
tight end.
Top tight end.
Before it drops.
You're looking at Tyler Eifert after this. Or you're looking at, you know,
right.
Dallas Clark. He's not even playing
right.
anymore, okay?
Julian Edelman is a guy I considered when I made the Eric Decker pick. Rick, I didn't draft him for this reason alone. So twofold. I think Witten, in his role, I know he's going to stay healthy, number one, and I think he's more valuable positionally. You know what I mean?
Right.
Edelman's middle-of-the-pack wide receiver. Jason Witten's the last high-end, second-tier tight end out there, number one. Number two, now getting specifically to the players with Julian Edelman, if the reports are true and Gronk comes back healthy, ready mm-hmm. to go week one, and if he stays healthy, which is a big if, that so drastically reduces Julian Edelman's value, I'm not willing to take that risk because the extra catches 6 through 11 that Julian Edelman's getting every week are Gronk's catches.
Right.
If Gronk's back and healthy, Gronk's the one catching 12, 13, 14 balls a week, not Julian Edelman. So it's Jason Witten in both scenarios. Number one, he's the last guy of that tier. I'm going to assume in this scenario I'm not drafting my second wide receiver. I'm looking at my third, perhaps even my fourth guy here. And so Jason Witten positionally going to be much more valuable. And number two, Edelman's a guy I think is going to be overdrafted if Gronk stays healthy. It's going to end up being a big reach for him. Now, if Gronk is hurt, he becomes a steal again like he was last year. You're not going to know. I'm not willing to take that risk. So
right.
give me Witten in both scenarios.
Russell Wilson?
Amongst these three guys?
No.
Oh.
Witten.
Witten or Russell Wilson? Yeah, give me Witten. I can get just as good a quarterback as Russell Wilson.
No Sean Marino.
I have no interest in no Sean Marino.
Tom Brady.
Ooh, all right. Now you got the one. I'm going to assume Tom Brady is going to be similar to Jason Witten and that this is probably going to be the bottom of the tier I'm really comfortable with if we're getting to that level. You know what? I can cobble together No, you know what, Rick? I'm going to take Tom Brady
right.
there. There's going to be a good argument for Jason Witten, but I'm going to go Tom Brady.
But you see where I'm going with this.
Right.
You know, people get out there, number one, don't just positionally draft. Jason Witten, if you put him against Julian Edelman, probably no Sean Marino coming off the knee surgery now with a pretty impotent offense.
Right.
He's the best player out there.
Yes.
Yeah, with the exception of Tom Brady and Russell Wilson, I may say. But like you say, there's more ilk within the Russell
right.
Wilson stratosphere than Jason Witten. Once you get below Jason Witten,
it's over.
Yeah.
it's over, John.
Exactly. So go for the best player.
Right.
And don't, I only have one wide receiver, you know, so I better pass up on him and get it. No, you know.
Yeah. You'll find equivalent talent.
Right.
Especially the receiver and quarterback positions. They're the two deepest.
And ones. You only have one tight end to start.
Right.
So,
and you're not going to carry a second one. So this guy you're going to be saddled with, you're going to be trying to play matchups in that waiver wire week in and week out, and you don't want to have to do that. All right, Rick, just a couple minutes left. Let's see if I got a simpler one here. Well, that one's a little bit complicated. How about this one, real simple, Rick? Peyton Manning falls to you in the sixth pick of the second round. Do you pull the trigger on Peyton Manning, or do you go ahead and pick up your best wide receiver slash running back and go ahead and wait and pick up your quarterback later?
I think I'm going to pick up the quarterback later. We've talked about this before. I don't think Peyton Manning is in line for a monster season like he had last year. Those only come about once every 10 years.
Right.
And we went through all his different years last week. You know, he went from the 49 touchdowns to the 33, to the 36, to the whatever.
Right.
I think he comes back down to earth. Do I think he comes back down to 33? No.
No, he'll probably 40-ish, but he's not.
I think he's
going to
be in the
40s, again.
But I don't think he's going to be at 55.
Right.
And now all of a sudden, yeah, I think there's comparable talent out there, so grab one of these top safe wide receivers.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Well, Rick, we got about 5 minutes left.
All right, I'll give you another quick one here.
All right.
You're the eighth pick. It is the first round, and it's PPR. McCoy, Charles, AP, Forte, Lacy, Calvin, and Lynch are gone.
Okay.
Do you go wide receiver?
You know what? That's where I start to consider it. I think being at eight, somebody else is going to slide back around. Who are my wide receivers that were gone?
Calvin.
Just Calvin? So
yep.
I can get Demaryius Thomas or Dez? I think I go one of those guys there. I honestly do. I don't trust Arian Foster. I don't trust Marshawn Lynch. There's not a guy I trust enough. I'll go ahead and get that stable guy in the first round that I know I can depend on, and then go ahead. One of those guys is still going to be there coming back in the second. Maybe Le'Veon Bell, maybe one of these guys. I forget the whole list you read off. They're already gone.
Right. It was pretty
I'll
simple.
Get one
just,
of them. I'll get one of
okay.
them.
Okay. That was just basically, you know, the question, trying to find the cutoff line.
Right. Yeah. And I think after – I'll tell you what, you're not 100% comfortable with anybody after Eddie Lacy. After you get down through five or six, there's question marks surrounding everybody down there. And as I've watched these drafts go on, these mocks that I've done in the Invitational right now, some of these guys, these mid-level guys with question marks are going to fall. You don't have to pull the trigger on them in the first round. You can wait around for a minute or two.
Yeah, I agree. So, I mean, that about wraps it up,
yeah.
I guess. We're Fleeger and Briggs. This is the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show. Thanks for listening in. Don't forget to tune in to the Fantasy Sports Network, fantasysportsnetwork.com, Sundays at 2 o'clock. You people in the greater New York area, Eastern PA, Connecticut, New Jersey, tune in Cablevision. Get the Optimum Package, channel 147 on Cablevision, MTS Cable in Manitoba. We're up there, so... You know, and we're on RF Sports Radio,
yes.
You know, boasting 400 listeners last month alone.
400,000, not 400, yeah. Rick.
What'd I say?
You said 400. That wouldn't be impressive.
400.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry about that, guys. 400,000 listeners, yeah. 400.
400 listeners.
There we go.
Yeah. So, Eric, and hey, one more thing exciting. This happened too fast. This came together last night. Don't have a formal read put together yet. But being joined on the show, a sponsor at DraftGods.com, newest daily fantasy site, doing things a little different. We'll have an official read for you, but that's your homework for this week. Before next week's show, check out DraftGods.com. See everything they offer there right now, just to get it started. We'll be officially rolling this out next week.
You better believe it. And next week, don't forget to tune in, too, because we have football guy Sigmund Bloom coming on as a special guest. And
we're
excited about that.
Definitely. So that's it. We'll be back next Wednesday, 7 o'clock. Hopefully Pedro can have us on the air by 7.
I'm not sure Pedro will be
here. Pedro might not be here.
I didn't want to say anything to you, but we're going to have a little talk with Pedro.
All right. So we're going to have an off-air meeting, and we'll see about Pedro.
Yeah.
So until then, we'll see you.
Take care. You can't see. Ain't
you back.